Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Let's turn in our Bibles to the 54th Psalm, the 54th Psalm, Psalms 54. And I'll begin reading verse number 1. We'll read all 7 verses of this Psalm, the 54th Psalm, beginning at verse number 1. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto the Lord. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather, Lord. It's not the way we would wish, but Lord, thank you that you have given us this privilege to unite on the same property. It's good to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, Lord, I pray as the word of God is being preached, Lord, that it would go out in power and it would be a help and it would accomplish that which you would want it to accomplish. Thank you, Lord, for agreeing, for wanting to be our helper. And I pray that you'll help us during this time that we face in our country. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a conversation with my daughter Tabitha this week. And Tabitha, just a minute here. All right, just wanted to double check on something. Sorry about that. I had a conversation with my, I wanted to find out whether or not he muted my special song. That's what it really was about. But I guess everything went well there. I had a conversation with my daughter Tabitha this week, and she was telling me about how things are going out in California and how this this national testing, what it's done to their life and the different changes that they've had to make in their ministry there. And one of the things she said is this. She said, Dad, there's one thing I can say for sure, and that's this. She said, if somebody wants a job during this time, there are help wanted signs everywhere. Help wanted signs everywhere. And she said a lot of the businesses, because of the rush on things and the amount of people that are buying things up, they're closing. Some of the stores that used to be open 24 hours are closing during the night, and they're begging to hire people just to come in and restock the shelves. She said this to me. She said, Dad, everywhere I look, almost every street I drive on, there's a sign that says, help wanted, help wanted. It reminded me of kind of a humorous moment. A couple years ago, I was driving into Terre Haute, and I came to a certain intersection and caught the red light, as you will do often in Terre Haute. And as I stood there at the red light, I looked over to my left, and there's a man standing there, and he has a sign, and it says, help wanted. And what he was doing was standing by the side of the road trying to get somebody or some bodies to donate money because of his plight or because of the circumstances of his life. As I looked and read the sign, help wanted, that he was holding, I looked to my right, and I seen two businesses that also had the same sign out in front of their business on their marquee, help wanted. I then looked the other direction, and guess what? I saw 3 more help wanted signs that direction. And I couldn't help but stop and think, just how bad do you want the help that you seem to desire? And I want to preach on that subject this morning, help wanted, help wanted. I was accosted by a little phrase in Psalms 54 as I was doing my devotions. And I've been preaching quite a bit out of the book of Psalms. Let me tell you why that's true. A preacher tends to preach out of the book that he's reading the most. And if I could give you a good piece of advice, if there's ever a time I would encourage God's people to just go to the Psalms and just read the Psalms. They have ministered to me more during the last month than probably any other portion of the Bible. And so I find myself once again preaching out of the book of Psalms. But if you look in verse number 4, David says something that is astounding. When you really stop and think about it, when you understand the definition of the title, then I think you'll be astounded too and thankful for what God offers to each and every one of us. In verse 4, we read, "Behold," watch this, "God is mine helper." God is mine helper. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, first of all, I couldn't help but think, you know, shouldn't that be turned around? I mean, that seems a little opposite of what it ought to be, and that seems a little backwards from what maybe I thought that David might write. I mean, shouldn't we be God's helper? And then I thought to myself, well, now maybe I'm misunderstanding what that word means. So if you study the origin of the word helper in our text, the root word of this Bible title carries two strongly combined meanings. Helper means two things. Number one, to be on call. And number two, to run to one's aid. And then I thought to myself, could that be true? David said of God, "God is mine helper." And I mean, it almost sounds like to me that God is on call, that he's standing by waiting, and that whenever we need him, he will run to our aid. And again, I couldn't help but think, boy, that seems backwards to me again. I mean, God is the Lord. God is the master. God is the supreme. I mean, shouldn't we be the ones that are on call? Shouldn't we be the ones that are standing by on call 24 hours a day just saying, "Hey, God, if you need me to do anything, I'm waiting, I'm ready"? Shouldn't it be us that when God does call, runs to his aid? And yet, folks, listen to me. We have such a wonderful God that he says, "You know what? I understand that you need to serve me. But I want you to understand this. I also want to serve you. I understand that, you know what? There's times that I'm going to need your help. But I want you to understand that I also want to be a help to you." And I couldn't help but just be amazed by this. And then I thought, is this the only place that the Bible says this? And I read again Psalms 54, verse 4, "Behold, God is mine helper." And then I went over to Psalms chapter 30, and I read these words, "What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper." There it is again. Then I went over to Psalm 72 and verse 12. "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also." What a phrase. Listen to this. "And him that hath no helper." You know, during this time, if you don't have a helper, it's not because there isn't one available to you. God says, "Listen, I understand that I'm the creator, and I understand I'm the almighty, and I understand I'm the all-powerful one, and I understand that I created you to serve me, but there's going to be times in your life that you need a helper, and I want you to know during those times, I'll stand by, and I'll be available, and if you call, I'll come running." I just want to encourage our people today and tell you this, that God's interested in your life, and he's interested in the plight that you face, and he's interested in being on call for you, and he stands by, and if you'll call unto him, he'll answer you and show you great and mighty things you knoweth not. You say, "Well, preacher, I just don't know if God's that interested in my life." I want to share a testimony with you, or relay a testimony with you, that I heard from a businessman just a few months ago. I was preaching at a preaching conference, and I got in talking to a man at that conference that was not a preacher, and he wasn't an evangelist, and he wasn't a missionary, but obviously he was somebody that walked with God and knew God. I was preaching at a preaching conference in Iowa, and you know what? They did something unusual at that preaching conference. Before the morning service, they had the men at the church meet at 8 a.m., and have a time of united prayer. And the pastor asked me to speak on the subject of prayer. Before we had our time of prayer, I engaged in a conversation with the businessman that was there. And you know what he told me? He told me this amazing story. And this is a man, by the way, that has a high-level managerial position and one of honestly one of our nation's largest corporations. And he came to me and he began to share a testimony with me, and he said, years ago my boss came into my office, and he said, this is before I held the position that I hold now. And he said to me, he said, I'm bringing in the CEO of our corporation, and we're bringing in some of the board members tomorrow morning. They're flying here to meet with me. And he said, okay. Well, he said, they're not just flying here to meet with me. They want to hear from you. And he said, why in the world would they want to hear from me? And he said, well, you have a track record and have established a track record here at our company. It seems like any time that we have an issue or a problem that we can't solve, or we face a dilemma that we can't seem to find an answer to, if I'll put it on your desk, just within a few days, it seems like that you walk in my office with a solution or with something that will help us in that area of our business. And this has happened so consistently that I finally shot an email to the CEO and mentioned you by name, and they're coming. They want to know what your secret is. They've looked at your track record. They've looked at your performances, and they say, this man seems to have an ability in problem solving that we need to learn and we need to teach to the other people in our corporation. And the man said, well, I'm not sure that they're going to really want to hear. Oh, no, they want to hear. They'll be here in the morning. You just be ready. Make a long story short, he said, in the morning, I walked into the office with fear and trembling and thinking, I've got to stand before these big shots in the corporation. And he said, I walked into a room, and it was a conference room, and these men were seated around the table, and they had some preliminaries, and then they introduced me. And he said, we have a member of our team here that's going to speak just for a minute. The CEOs would like you to talk to them a little bit about the process you go through when it comes to problem solving. And this Christian man stood up before this CEO and some of the board members and some of the hierarchy of that corporation and said, gentlemen, I wish I could tell you some magic formula. I wish I could tell you that in some ways I have more genius or more intellect, or there's some way that I logically go about solving things that others seem to struggle with. But he said, I'm a born-again Christian. And he said, when something hits my desk and I don't know the answer to it, he said, what I do is I just slip out of my chair and I get on my knees and I put my hand on the piece of paper. I place my hand on the problem and I say, help, Lord, help, Lord. I need your help, Lord. And you know what? I found out that when I get off of my knees from that time of prayer, that all of a sudden I begin to see things that I couldn't see before I prayed that prayer. And all of a sudden I begin to have thoughts that I didn't have before I prayed that prayer. And what I want to tell you is this. You know what? God is interested in your
being heard, okay?
All right. Man, I thought you were enjoying the message so much. We got it now?
Oh, I had turned it off?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No. You're praying good.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Hold on a second. Where was I when I cut off? All right. I had to go ask my mama where I was when she couldn't hear me anymore. Amen. Thank God for mamas. Amen. He said when something, amen, I love this. He says when something hits my desk, and he says, I can't come up with a solution. He said, it's a problem that's too hard for me. He said, what I do is I slip from my chair and I get on my knees and I begin to pray, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. And he said, when I get up, all of a sudden, I begin to think of things that I didn't think of before. And I begin to understand some things that I didn't understand. And I begin to see some answers that I never saw before. And folks, I guess I want to share with you this morning, that same God is available to me and he's available to you. And he's interested in what you're facing. And he's interested in what I'm facing. And he'll be there for you today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. God is willing to be our helper. Number two, let me give you this thought. God is holy, and he will not help us in any evil endeavor. And I want to explain this to you, and I don't want to pass over this point. Because sometimes I believe that there's folks that want to mistreat, misuse God. God is standing here. He doesn't have to take the position of a servant. He doesn't have to take the position of a helper. But he chooses to stand there and be ready for us to call on him. He's willing to run to our aid. But I want to remind you also that God is a holy God. And you know what? God is not going to involve himself in any endeavor that involves sinfulness or evilness. I went over this week and read Psalms 99, and you can read that later. It's 9 verses. It's not a long psalm, but 3 different times in Psalms 99, I noticed that we are reminded of the holiness of God. It says in verse number 2, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Psalms 99, verse 5, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. And then verse number 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. I believe there's a number of reasons that God has allowed the circumstances that has come into each of our lives, and he allows from time to time circumstances to come into the life of an individual, circumstances to come into the life of a family or a church, or in the case that we're facing now, circumstances that touch every area of a nation. And I believe that he creates situations where he can then be called upon and he can then intervene for us. He does so for maybe 2 different reasons. Number one, to remind us how much we need him. But also, folks, I think God has also allowed these circumstances to come into our lives to convict us. Listen to me, to convict us concerning our sin. You see, God wants to be our helper, but he also will want us to live in such a way where he can help us. You see, he wants to help. He wants to help. But it seems like America wants God to help us despite our sin and despite our evil. It's almost like we're praying this prayer. Help us, Lord, while we keep sinning. Help us, Lord, while we live in immorality. Help us, Lord, while we champion the sodomite lifestyle. Help us, Lord, while we continue to murder the unborn. Help us, Lord, while we guzzle our booze and smoke our legalized marijuana. Help us, Lord, as we turn the Lord's Day into our own personal fun day. Help us, Lord, as we rob you of tithes and offerings. Help us, Lord, as we dress immodestly. Help us, Lord, as we worship Hollywood celebrities and millionaire sports stars. Help us, Lord, as we use daily your name as a curse word in our crunch. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. God does want to help America. But I want to remind you that he does have some requirements that are necessary for us to meet for him to get involved in rescuing a nation. How about 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Folks, listen to me. Americans are having to answer some questions. And maybe the question we all need to face is this: just how bad do we want God to be our helper? Do we want it bad enough to humble ourselves? Do we want it bad enough to get on our knees and pray? Do we want it bad enough to seek His holy face? Do we want it bad enough to turn from our wicked ways? Listen, folks, I believe this is a time where America is ripe for revival. And God wants to help. He wants to rescue a nation. God loves our country, and He loves us. But also, He will not sacrifice His holiness for anything in the world. When I was writing this point, I was thinking about an illustration, and an old friend of mine, a guy that I used to work with, came to mind. This was way back in my UPS days. For about 6 years, I loaded semi-trailers on the docks of Chicago for United Parcel Service. And one of the guys I worked with on a regular basis was a lost man, we became friends as much as you can because we worked together, and his name was Mike, and I liked Mike. Mike was a funny guy. And I always looked forward to the nights when we would be in the same truck and we'd work together because he had a great sense of humor and really an interesting guy to talk to. And, of course, I witnessed to Mike. And it got to the point where when I would start bringing up salvation, he would say, "Okay, Jerry, stop. I get it. I know what you're going to say next. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." I mean, I had witnessed to him so many times, he could quote the plan of salvation to me. And he was always interested in the dedication that I had to the Lord and the service and what I did on weekends and in the bus ministry. And so he'd ask me questions about church and the Bible and those kind of things. We had some good conversations. But Mike was funny. And one night, Mike came to the truck, and he said, "Hey, can I just ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Could you give me some of your favorite Bible verses?" And I thought, well, this is unusual. Mike usually don't bring up the subject of the Bible. And so I thought, wow, this is great. So I said to Mike, I said, "Well, you know, I think everybody's favorite is found in the book of John. I said, 'For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him.'" He said, wait a minute. He said, "Aren't there like numbers about, you know, the verse doesn't have like numbers?" And I said, "Well, yeah, John 3:16. He said, "Oh, okay." He said, "What other are your favorite verses?" And I said, "Well, you know, my life verse is Ephesians 3:8. And I started to quote it, and he said, no, that's enough. And I said, give me another verse. And I finally said, "Mike, what are you doing?" I said, you want to know the reference, you want to know the numbers, but you're not even listening to the verses. Well, what I hadn't paid attention to was this is back in the day when the Illinois lottery had just got started. And for the first time, the Illinois lottery had gotten up to over $100 million. And he finally said to me, he said, "Well, I just thought maybe if I got some of those numbers out of the Bible from a preacher, if I played those numbers, maybe God would look down and smile and let me win the $100 million. And I said, "Mike, I don't think that's the way it's going to work. That's not the way God operates." And he said, "But I already told him that, hey, that preacher at the UPS that works with me, he's in some kind of a bus ministry thing. And if you let me win $100 million, I'll buy him 20 buses. And so he was trying to work out a deal with God, taking Bible verse references to play the lottery and making a deal with, listen, folks, God's interested in helping us. But He's not going to help us accomplish sinfulness. He's not going to help us in evil. He's not going to help us win the lottery. What He wants to do is help us as we learn to serve Him. And so, folks, listen to me. First of all, God is willing to be our helper. But remember this, God will only help us in areas where we can please and honor Him and obey Him. Number three, if you want God's help, there is another requirement. It's an easy one. Here we go. He requires that you ask for His help, that you ask for His help. Now, I want to read some of the verses in the Bible here that King David wrote in the book of Psalms. One of the most oft-repeated prayers from King David is this prayer, this little two-word prayer. And no, it's not what I preached on last Sunday night. Last Sunday night, I preached on David's two-word prayer, the rarest prayer in the Bible. Two words, teach me. But you know what? David also prayed this prayer over and over and over again. A little two-word prayer, and here it is. Help me. Help me. Psalms 22, verse 19. But be thou not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Psalms 38, 22. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Psalms 40, verse number 13. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to, here it is, help me. Psalm 70, verse 1. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Psalms 109, 26. Help me, O Lord, my God. Psalms 119, 173. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. You know, I talked about that little prayer meeting time that we had at the preaching conference in Dubuque, Iowa. And they asked me to preach that morning or teach that morning for just a few minutes on the subject of prayer. And when I got up, I had them turn to Psalms 109, verse number 26. And I said, gentlemen, I'd rather pray than spend a lot of time talking about prayer. So I'm only going to talk to you for about 3 or 4 minutes and then let's go to prayer. But I said, I'd like to tell you that there is one prayer that I pray more than any other prayer. And it's the first two words of Psalms 109, verse 26. And here's the prayer. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Folks, listen to me. If you'll learn that prayer, you'll find out that God is a God that wants to hear and answer our prayer. Let me say something. Please listen to what I'm going to say. Prayer is a declaration of our dependency upon God. Now let that sink in. Prayer is a declaration of our dependency upon God. Can we flip the coin over? Prayerlessness is a declaration of our independency from God. And when God looks down and he sees a Christian that goes day after day after day after day after day and never prays, do you know what God hears? He hears this. I don't need you. I got this. I don't need you, God. I can live this life without your help. And you know what? God a lot of times will answer that statement that's made through prayerlessness. But he also will equally answer when somebody humbles themselves, gets on their knees, and over throughout the day says, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. God rushes to their aid. Some of the things that I'm hearing in the midst of this crisis causes me great concern. I wonder, what is America saying to God right now? What is God hearing from America? Is he hearing a cry for help? Listen, can I just ask the question? Do we really want God's help in this? Or through prayerlessness are we saying, God, we got this. We don't really need you. During a press conference, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo boasted about lowering the rate of the coronavirus cases in the state. And he also took a jab at those of us who are born-again believers. This is his exact quote. Please listen. This is a governor. Now think about what God is hearing when he hears a governor of the state of New York say this. The number is down because we brought the number down. He went on to say this. God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering and sacrifice did that. That's how it works. It's not God, it's math. Well, Governor Cuomo, from your lips to God's ears. But you know what? If I lived in the state of New York, I'd vote me in a new governor. Because I don't think that it's a coincidence that the state, one of the states that has been devastated and that has suffered the most, is being led by a man who steps out, looks up to heaven and says, don't need you, God. We've got this. We've got this. Later on, he was given an opportunity to retract that statement in an interview on CNN on April 14th. And then instead of doing that, instead of apologizing, instead of backtracking, you know what he does? He says this, our behavior has stopped the spread of the virus. God did not stop the spread of the virus. And what we do, how we act, will dictate how the virus spreads. Folks, listen to me. I'm scared for America. I'm scared for America. Because right now, when we need God like we've never needed him, we have political leaders standing up declaring their independency from God and blasphemeing his name. I want to remind you, and I went back and looked at the dates, and I even went back and copied off the news report, the article that was published in our local newspaper, the Greene County Daily World. I copied off this article back in 2008. Please listen to what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say for a reason. Because, folks, I'm going to conclude this message by pleading with the people that are here, God's people, that if there's ever a time that God needs to hear us get on our knees and ask for his help, it's right now. But back in 2008, June 7th, which was a Saturday, on the previous 2 days, our area had been bombarded with rain. We received, in about 5 hours' time, over 10 inches of rain on Friday. Saturday, some more rain came. And then we began to face a crisis situation. Tornadoes had touched down in the Bloomfield area. Friday night, heavy rains battered the entire county, causing flash floods and rising the levels on the East Fork of the White River over flood stage, forcing the closure of several major roadways. Saturday, the problem got worse in the city of Jasonville. A major water line broke, caused by flash flooding at about 1 p.m. Saturday, disrupting water service to the city of Jasonville and its water utility customers in Colmont, Hymera, and Lewis. And hey, beep your horn if you remember this and were affected by this. You remember this? And you know what? We were in a crisis situation. There were a couple of levees in our area that were absolutely on the point of overflowing and breaking. And then more rain came on Saturday, and the situation looked dire. And we were right on the saturation point. And Sunday, thank God the sun came out. But on Monday, they were calling for us to get another 5 to 6 inches of rain. And you know what? I went to church here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We attended on Sunday morning. We gathered as a congregation. We had church. Sunday afternoon, I went home and I just sat down to the dinner table and I got a call. I got a call from one of our city councilmen right here in the city of Jasonville. And this person said to me, Pastor, is there any possible way that you could come and meet at the Jasonville Firehouse? We need to talk to you. And I said, when do you need to meet with me? She said, as soon as possible. And I said, I'm coming right now. I got up and I got in my car and I went over here and I pulled into the parking lot out front of the Jasonville Fire Department. And I walked in and I was met at the door by one of the firemen who was a Christian man, a good man. He said, Preacher, thank you for coming. We need your help. And he took me into a office area, and there seated around was the members of the emergency team that was facing this. Members of our city council, our police department was represented, our fire department was represented, the Red Cross was there. And they said, Preacher, the situation is more dire than we've even released to the public at this point. And they said, our levees are absolutely at the point of breaking. And if that happens, we're going to face a disaster like we haven't faced here since way back in 1918 when this area got flooded. And they said, the problem is they will hold as long as we don't get more rain. But they're calling for 5 to 7 inches on Monday. And preacher, we need God's help. I stood there in a room and looked at councilmen and people in the fire department and people in the police department. And folks, there was a look of fear on their face. This was a serious situation. Preacher, we need God's help. Is there anything you know that we could do? And I said to them, we have at our church a ministry called the Pastor's Prayer Team. And I said, I can get on the phone, and within an hour, I can have 40 of our men come. Because I can't help this. None of us can help this. Only God can help this. And I said, if you'll let me, I'll have 40 men meet here right outside of the fire department. And we'll get on our knees. And we'll beseech the throne of grace. And we'll ask God to withhold this rain. And we'll ask God for a miracle. And every single member in there began to nod and say, preacher, please, we are in dire straits. Please, could you do that? You know, I got on the phone. I want to thank God that we didn't have to organize a prayer ministry because of a crisis. We already had a prayer ministry before there ever was a crisis. And I called on the phone, and I got a hold of some of the men, and they called other men. And folks, within an hour's time, there were over 40 of the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church standing in front of the fire department. And there were other people gathered there. And there were also a couple of extra local pastors there. One of them walked over to me and said, I can't believe that you picked up the phone. In an hour's time, you have 40 men here to pray. And I didn't say it to him, but I wanted to say, I can't believe you couldn't pick up the phone and get 40 men to pray. And I looked around and I said, told him about the situation. I said, listen, folks, there's nothing we can do. This is totally all God. So let's pray. And you know what we did? We immediately got down on our knees and got down on our face on that parking lot. The other preachers and the other Christians looked at Blessed Hope people like, what are you doing? Because folks, listen to me. We were serious about it. And you know what? God wants to see some humility. And God wants to see and listen to our prayers. And God wants to be our helper. But he wants to see that we're serious about it. You know what? We got on our face on that parking lot right outside of the fire department there. And we prayed one after another, man after man after man, begging God for mercy, and begging God to move this front, and begging God to change the forecast, and begging God to make a difference. And you know what we did? We did what God asked us to do when he invited us to call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. The next day we woke up, and you know what? We saw a miracle on Monday. That forecast began to change, and that front began to break up. And folks, you can watch it on the radar. You can watch it on the radar as that storm front broke up and dissipated and separated and spared this area. We got less than a half inch of rain on Monday. I want our politicians to be reminded of that. I want our governor to want God to get involved. This is not the time to tell churches not to gather. This is time to get on the phone and beg churches to gather. Beg men to pray. Beg God's people to get on their face. Because God is the answer. Sorry, Governor Cuomo, but God pity your wicked heart. And God pity your blasphemy. And God save you from your unbelief. But I'm telling you this, it is God that can turn this thing around. And it is God that is helping us. And it is God that will continue to help us. But I think he's waiting. He's standing over here waiting. He's waiting to hear from Christians. He's waiting to hear from churches. He's waiting to hear from men and women who will pray. I want to give you one last closing thought. God proved how much he was willing to be our helper when he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. And boy, did we need help. Because we're sinners and because we have disobeyed the Lord, the condemnation and curse of sin came upon mankind. And you know what? We don't deserve to go to heaven. If every single person deserved what they got, they'd burn in an eternity in hell. But Jesus stood up at the right hand of the Father. And he said, Lord, I'll go down and be their helper. I'll go down and die on the cross. I'll go down and bear their punishment and their sins. I'll go into that grave. And 3 days later, I'll beat death. I'll rise from the dead. I'll write the story of the gospel. You know what? If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're listening, and you've never been saved, God wants to be your helper by saving your soul and giving you the gift of eternal life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for meeting with us this morning. And Lord Jesus, we love you. And God, thank you to think that an all-powerful God, an almighty God, a God who is our master, a God who is our Lord, a God who could and probably should have no expectation but for us to serve him. And yet, God, you stand beside David and you say, David, I'm here. I'm on call 24 hours, 7 days a week. I never slumber. I never sleep. If you need anything, David, I'll be your servant. I'll be your helper. Just call, and I'll come running. I'll come to your aid. Lord, we don't deserve a God that would do that for us, but thank you that throughout the history of our country, as our people have gone to their knees, I'm talking about all the way back during World War I. I'm talking about all the way back during the Great Depression. I'm talking about World War II, where people would gather in the churches and call out. In every crisis we've ever faced, we've always had leadership that encouraged Christians to pray. I want to thank you, Lord, for President Trump and his declaration of a day of prayer. Lord, at the very beginning of this process, asking Christians to pray. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would find you. We would seek you. Lord, we would understand as a nation that this is not a time to turn our back on God. This is a time to return to God, to pray to God. Thank you, Lord, for being there for each and every one of us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to let the piano player play.